The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
There are plays that flip a game, and there are plays that Simone Biles' double layout half twist the game. 98 yards the other way, saving Cincy. Buffalo also with some sweaty moments. Was there anybody, San Fran included, more impressive than the New York Giants? Anything happen in Jaguars Chargers?
Oh, don't bring that
and
up.
And tonight, how anything is possible, you can tell me 48-0. You can tell me 5-3. Cowboys, Buccaneers, let's go around that horn.
I knew it was going to be pick on the Chargers day. I know it is. It's going to be ugly.
So this play, it's a reach high over the goal line. You see this, though, in the NFL. We saw it with Trevor Lawrence the night before. It does have a risk factor, and here it was risk like Kamchatka. Hubbard, 98 yards. Anyone calling blocks to the back here?
Yes.
Okay, I knew you would, Flashkey. J.K. Dobbins.
Clean.
Excoriating the play call after the game. He should have never been in that situation. I don't get a single carry. He should never have been in that situation. Why am I not out there? I should be the guy. Tired of holding that back. So, the offseason for Baltimore. So much Lamar Jackson Sturm und Drang. It starts with this infighting and second guessing and discontent. Courtney, your takeaway from Bengals 24, Ravens 17.
Well, my stomach hurts a little bit because you mentioned Kamchatka, so I'm still recovering from that in real time, Tony. But no, I mean, J.K. Dobbins is upset that he didn't touch the ball inside the red zone after his 2-yard touchdown in the second quarter. In that critical fourth quarter series, he wasn't even on the field for the play that resulted in the fumble and then the 98-yard touchdown return the other way for Cincinnati. So you can understand a player who's upset with his workload. He wants to be a featured back in a run-heavy offense, and Greg Roman will not make him that guy. So very clearly the comments that came out of the locker room yesterday from Dobbins expresses a lot of frustration. I didn't really like, though, what he had to say afterwards, though, that if Lamar Jackson was in this game, they would have won. To me, that felt like a shot at Tyler Huntley, who is a backup quarterback doing his best. And it's not like he was trying to fumble the ball on the 1-yard line.
Bill Plaschke, I'll bring you in on that one play first and foremost, how it changed an entire game here. And do the Ravens, does J.K. Dobbins have beef?
He has exact perfect beef. He's exactly right. That changed the game. It was a terrible call. They're too far from the goal line to try that. Huntley is 6'1". He's not 6'5". He's trying to be Trevor Lawrence. He couldn't be Trevor Lawrence. All I could think of was Russell Wilson throwing to Malcolm Butler. That's all I could think of was give the ball to Dobbins, give the ball to your running back. He can push it across. That changed the entire game because the way Baltimore was, the defense was so incredible, Cincinnati wasn't going to score again. They weren't going to score another touchdown. The Ravens would have won the game on that play.
Israel Gutierrez, is that how you see it?
And whether, you know, he was supposed to go low on that play or not, you could see the Bengals defense preparing for what looked like a quarterback sneak. It seemed like it was a simple play call that was, you know, read by the defense. And most importantly, how often has Tyler Huntley been in that situation, even in practice, right? Where you're saying, okay, 3rd-and-1 versus 4th-and-1, where 3rd-and-1, hey, you're not doing that because you're risking fumbling. 4th-and-1, yeah, it's all out there. You can do whatever you need to do. But 3rd-and-1, hey, you live to play another down and hang on to it. So it just seemed like you're putting the ball in his hands. And why? Why not J.K. Dobbins? If anybody should be able to speak up for himself in this situation, it should be him, because with Lamar Jackson out, with your weapons not really there, who are you going to look to and who are you going to trust? Why not him? He's been in these situations before. He was even in the situation in the first half. So I think it's perfectly fair to him to get, for Harbaugh to get questioned in general. And, you know, when you talk about the feelings of this organization with John Harbaugh, a lot of those questions are going to, you know, come to head pretty soon.
And Harry Lyles Jr.
Yeah, J.K. Dobbins certainly has a gripe. It just feels a little odd to also then throw Tyler Huntley underneath the bus just because he played the game that the Ravens absolutely needed from him after throwing that initial interception, right? Like, he threw that first pick, and it's like, oh, gosh, where's this going to go? But he came back, had a great game, and obviously, as John Harbaugh said, at the end, he was supposed to go underneath, not over the top. I mean, even on first glance, it seemed like that was a very, very ambitious type of play, right? Like, that looked like Michael Jordan in Space Jam reaching for the final dunk, right? Like, it was that outrageous. And even if you look from Next Gen Stats, they actually tweeted the chip in the football said that the closest he got was 2/3 of a yard away. So, and those chips are 6 inches off. So even if you give him those 6 inches, he was still way off. It wasn't even close.
Maybe.
The fact that that was a fluky play, I think we could all agree, terrible.
A QB sneak is as risk-free a play as there is. But in this instance, that's slightly high risk. And just to be in that position, Baltimore still could have won this game. So the Lamar Jackson, you got multiple panels brought up. Let's just go there. The idea, if he were healthy, and he's not, but if he were healthy and was playing in this game, could they have beaten Cincinnati? And he wasn't even with the team in this particular road trip for the playoff game on the sideline. And where the Ravens are right now, Courtney, with this iciness between the team's best player and the team.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what their travel policy is for injured players. We do know that Lamar did travel, though, in week 14. So something here tells me that this might be the very end for Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. But I really didn't like the comments that came out yesterday from Michael Vick on the pregame set before this game, talking about you're 3 games away from a Super Bowl, strap a brace on it and go. Lamar Jackson's in a contract year. He's not trying to get himself any more injured than he already is and affect his future income and potentially affect his career longevity.
Bill Plaschke.
Huntley outplayed him, outplayed Burrow. They outgained him by 130 yards. They could have won with Huntley. Lamar Jackson just looks bad not being there. He looks dissed. He looks detached. I think it's over
Harry
with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore.
Yeah, I think it's weird the fact that we kind of keep continuing to come back to Lamar Jackson in this injury. Like, it seems like there's a lot of picking at him when clearly even J.K. Dobbins said he's been limping around the locker room. If a guy is doing that, it doesn't make sense for him to play when you have a guy like Tyler Huntley.
I was stunned to hear that from Michael Vick, who had injury. Every quarterback has injury, but a player like Vick's caliber and Robert Griffin III is who you point to and say he put a brace on. He had a non-contact injury, and his career was never the same. This conversation is still going on, though, has to land on the head of the team and John Harbaugh. Because if you want to keep Lamar Jackson happy, this conversation's not happening. Clearly, they're not thinking about it that way. We'll move on. Whether you think differently of Cincinnati after the tight win, or maybe you wonder about Buffalo after their 3-point win over Miami. The turnovers for Josh Allen, the way they had to sweat Skylar Thompson late. They needed all the Dolphins' play call errors, and about those errors, 4th and inches, game in the line. It took 55 seconds for Miami to get the play in, and they still didn't get it in. That was the delay. What was that? Mike McDaniel said he thought it was a first down, and when they found out it was 4th down, they had to switch everything, and then they didn't get the play in from the coaches boxed in on time. Israel, does McDaniel's coaching explanation hold water?
Well, let me start here. I think as far as the Dolphins go, if you're a Dolphins supporter, it's probably about as good as a result as you could have hoped for when you're starting your third-string quarterback on the road against one of the monsters of the AFC and a rookie quarterback, right? So you have to look at this team and say, hey, they have some things to look to be positive about, right? Yes, and one of those things that you can grow from is maybe some time management and things that Mike McDaniel didn't do well in this game, and that includes getting those play calls out in time, which normally your quarterback helps you out with those situations. And again, you're talking about a third-string quarterback who last time he started, they didn't even score a touchdown, right? They won that game, but didn't even score a touchdown.
You're thinking they were in it, they should be happy with that, they got as far as you possibly could. You don't think they were on, they could have won this game, you don't think that?
Of course, yeah. You regret the situation when, you know, once you've played that out, right? But again, you're talking about Mike McDaniel, who is a play caller, right? He calls the plays on this team. And so maybe that's something he learns for the future situations. Hey, maybe I shouldn't be calling all the plays. Maybe in these situations, we should have another
Plaschke
play caller.
Plaschke shaking
therefore,
his head no.
You know, we can become a better
he
team
seems
from
to
that.
Think.
But
he,
you're talking about a double-figure underdog.
Okay, go ahead, Bill.
Izzy, you regret the situation? He blew the game. I don't care how much, how feel good the Dolphins were. 18 million people knew it was fourth down, and the coach didn't know it was fourth down? Are you kidding me? They had the game in their hands. Buffalo was loose. Josh Allen was awful. The Bills were there for the taking.
Israel back in, please.
They're driving the ball, and he doesn't know what down it is?
Yeah, I mean,
come on.
So if they get that first down and then go ahead and maybe kick the field goal and then go into overtime, there's a lot more there, okay? And they could easily just look terrible once they get to that situation because, oh, by the way, they've got Skylar Thompson starting as their quarterback. So, yes, it's about as good as a result as they could have asked for. And if you want to nitpick with Mike McDaniel, sure, let him be the one who takes the blame.
He blew it.
Courtney Cronin, come on in.
I mean, that doesn't really say much.
I don't care that it was Skylar Thompson. The fact that they were almost at the 50-yard line with 2 minutes and 38 seconds to go, so you have that time plus the 2-minute warning, which they probably would have botched anyways because of their clock management and not knowing what down it is. They were in position to win this game. This was a one-score game in the third quarter after they were down 17-0. So this always absolutely falls on coaching in the situation. And the fact that they couldn't figure out it was a 4th-and-1 on that critical play, they were averaging 45 seconds in between offensive drives. I don't know how that happens.
Harry Lowes Jr., I'll bring you in here.
I really want to agree with Izzy because looking at who Skylar Thompson is and how he's played leading up to this point, you're going up against the Buffalo Bills. Yes, there's absolutely no reason for them to be in this game, but just like the Ravens, they did everything that they needed to do to be in the game. They took advantage of the 3 turnovers that the Bills had and scored 18 points off of those, and they were in this contest. And then with Mike McDaniel's explanation, bro, like, I don't know who communicated that to you, but look down at the chains, and you could see that it's 4th down. Like, that part of it to me is just inexcusable. But again, it just feels like one of those things where, yes, you probably shouldn't have been in the game in the first place, but at the end, you
Israel, I'll let you back in once more to try to make this argument that nobody's buying.
But here's the thing. You're all agreeing with me. I am not saying that Mike McDaniel is free of blame. I'm saying if that's what you have to improve, hey, my coach needs to work on some time management. Great. Do you know how many coaches have been getting, you know,
was it just about time
just
management?
Getting passes for
the interception Thompson threw on 3rd down? Is that on the coach saying, you know what, 3rd and whatever, a mile, maybe let's not try to throw it here.
Sure.
Maybe let's try to be more conservative.
Maybe not throw it 45
times.
That's
all on the coach, but that same confidence that they played with once things started going.
Incredible maneuver from Israel here when everybody's saying, you're wrong, we don't agree with you. And then he goes, no, you guys are saying exactly what I'm saying. I don't hear it that way. Sorry to say, don't hear it that
way. I don't agree with you.
One more question here as we go to break. Do you find yourself thinking differently about Buffalo or Cincinnati after the tight games? Bill Plaschke.
Buffalo's getting worse. Buffalo's not getting better. They're getting worse. They're going to lose.
Courtney Cronin.
Josh Allen was very volatile yesterday. I don't know how I feel about that confidence-wise going forward.
Harry Lowes Jr.?
Josh Allen's got to reel in the turnover. Cincinnati got to be worried with possibly 3 out on the offensive
line. And Israel Gutierrez.
Josh Allen and his recklessness needs to be pulled in, and that Cincinnati offensive line needs to play well. Then if they both do those things, they'll both look really good.
More from the magnificent Super Wild Card weekend.
Mike McDaniel needs to be blamed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron.
And now the game that defied logic, except exceeded expectation and goes right into the NFL Films vault. News of the day from Los Angeles is that Brandon Staley is still coaching the team. At least that's what we all know. So, the Chargers. Jokes about Chargers charging and their win probability looking like their logo. And, of course, the karma the social media team ran into. But there's real questions about Staley's coaching and the real reality of how you blow a 27-0 game in the playoffs. Other side, on how Trevor Lawrence looked as bad as anybody in the history of the sport for 25 minutes and then as good as anybody in the history of the sport the last 35 minutes. Bill Plaschke first on what you're hearing about the coaching in Los Angeles, and then was this one of the great comebacks or chokes?
Well, Brandon Staley showed up for exit interviews on Sunday. That generally means the coach is going to stay, so they're not going to get rid of him. He's under so much fire. I don't think
you said if they lose, he should be fired. That was on Friday. Yeah, and the way they lost,
it was unbelievable. They blew a 27-point lead and didn't commit a turnover. It was all, instead of giving it away, they let the Jaguars take it. They ran the ball seven times in the second half instead of killing clock. Ran the ball seven times. They had a chance to put it away deep in Jaguar territory, fourth and three in the fourth quarter, and they kicked a field goal and missed the field goal instead of going for it. They couldn't stop Trevor Lawrence. They made no adjustments were made. Brandon Staley just stood there, except when Joey Bosa threw his helmet, then Brandon Staley.
And everything
it up.
You're picking up it from the team is that Staley will remain head coach. Cordy Cronin, to you.
Well, if they're not going to fire Brandon Staley, they need to get a new offensive coordinator and a new running game because, like Bill had mentioned, once they build that 27-0 lead, they rush for 19 yards, which is inexcusable. I mean, when you have a lead like that, you try to run the clock. That is situational awareness. That falls on the head coach. And the fact is, the Chargers were dropping back 75% of the time after they built that 27-0 lead. That's inexcusable.
All right, so that's two saying this is all about the choke, not about the comeback. Harry, how about you?
I want to give Trevor Lawrence credit because, oh my goodness gracious, could you imagine being that young and throwing four picks in the first half and then keeping up the just will to go back in the second half and throw for four consecutive touchdowns? However, because we always on the internet streets talk about the Chargers being the AFC Falcons, this is absolutely about the choke job. They led for 135 of 139 snaps. That's 97%. That's the highest percentage of snaps leading for in a playoff loss. This is all about the Chargers.
You're not saying
how do you do that?
28-3 in the Super Bowl, are you?
No. No, but the Falcons and Chargers have a beautiful back and forth of who could lose a game in the weirdest possible way.
Well, I mean, you did pick Jacksonville this game, never in doubt for you, Harry Lyles Jr. After the social media post, you knew it was going to be Jacksonville. Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
Yeah, it does have to be about the choke job in part because they didn't even have a bigger lead than they did. They should have had a bigger lead. We're talking about four interceptions thrown your way in the first half. And it's not like in the second half, Justin Herbert was collapsing. It's not like they were turning the ball all over the place. It was just, yeah, they couldn't do the simplest of things, which is, you know, call a few running plays and keep the game at your pace. And, you know, you talk about the head coach losing respect for losing a big lead, but then looking terrible by picking up Bosa's helmet like a puppy dog and bringing it back to him only so he can slam it again. I think all of that needs to be examined. It doesn't matter how cheap the organization might be. They might need to
Bosa
consider,
doesn't
hey,
get
coach
that,
might not be
that
the best fit for this
second
team.
One, right? There were two. He doesn't get the second penalty there. Then Peterson maybe doesn't go for two there, but it just seemed like Peterson was going to go for two no matter what. Bill Plaschke, I mean, you want to be respectful for a human who's got a job. You don't want to fire anybody, but it was unanimous on the internet. Nothing's unanimous. It was unanimous that Sean Payton would be coaching this team by Tuesday, and that's not happening?
Oh yeah, and you think Mike Williams, you think they could have used Mike Williams? Why wasn't he there? Brandon Staley has a reason he wasn't there. No, Sean Payton costs too much money. Chargers never pay that much money for
him. We'll move on. Buy or sell two. I want to ask who looked most impressive this weekend, and it's the Giants or the Niners. New York went into Minnesota, got the only road win of the weekend. Those long drives, Daniel Jones, near perfect game. How they knew how to defend Kirk Cousins on fourth down. But the Niners on the other side of what Brock Purdy showed you in the win over Seattle. Harry Lyles, most impressive?
Look, I think the 49ers look the most impressive, but to me, the Giants stick out here because the reason you bring Brian Daboll in as a head coach is because of what he did with Josh Allen. He turned him from a rags-to-riches type of quarterback, and he has done that with Daniel Jones in a way that it did not appear that was going to be possible.
If I would have told you before the season that the two best offensive performers at Super Wild Card Weekend, Brock Purdy and Daniel Jones, amazing, you probably would have asked me what sport I was talking about. And so my answer is those quarterbacks. It's really because Daniel Jones has shown the progression, has shown the ability, and had so much confidence in that game against the Vikings. And the Niners, they might just have gotten so lucky in this quarterback that they drafted last overall. And, yeah, he might be able to carry this team to a Super Bowl.
Nobody's more impressive this weekend than Daniel Jones, the first quarterback in NFL history in the playoffs to throw for 300 yards, throw for two touchdowns, and rush for at least 70 yards. He was unbelievable.
Hey, Cordy Cronin, you're holding up a finger like you want to say something about that Giants-Vikings game. Please.
Enough praise on these great quarterbacks that actually won games. Let's talk about what happened with the Vikings. I know that we want to heap blame on Kirk Cousins for the check down that ended their season, but that's on play calling. If TJ Hockenson is chipping and then you're asking him to run a choice route and you have all these deep developing routes for protection up front, none of it made sense, but it was the Vikings defense that lost them that game. They gave up 10 plays of 10 plus yards, 26 times.
All right.
First downs in their team.
I appreciate your actual analysis there on the route that Hockenson was running. Kirk Cousins cannot throw the ball short of the lead. He has to throw to Justin Jefferson. He has to throw to Justin Jefferson the whole drive, right, Courtney? Was there a play this season where they forced the ball to Justin Jefferson and it worked out all right to them? Oh, wow. I can't believe you didn't go after Cousins there, Court. Showdown next, though. Plaschke, Lyles.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And how you finish off Super Wild Card Weekend with a game, again, I say, anything is possible. If it was 48-0, if it was 5-3, you'd be like, yeah, of course it was, because these are these two teams. Bill Plaschke, Harry Lyles Jr., Cowboys, Buccaneers, what's one thing you're certain of, and how will this game be won, Bill?
10 times Tom Brady's been an underdog in the playoffs. 7 times he's won that game. I am certain he will do something spectacular to win tonight's game. I'm not betting against Tom Brady.
Harry Lyles Jr.
I am certain that whoever loses this game, the overreaction is going to be both hilarious and exaggerated in ways that are going to be super entertaining. I think that this game tonight is going to be decided on defense, though. Whoever's going to win the turnover battle and field position, they're going to come out with the win on this one.
Who you got in this game, Harry? Bill already tipped his hand.
I got Dallas.
You got Dallas in this game as well. I was surprised.
I got Brady.
I know you got Brady, but you said 7 of 10. I mean, that's 3 losses. You know, it's not perfect. He is perfect against the Cowboys.
Oh, come on. That's a good percentage.
You could have said he's never lost to the Cowboys before. You could have said that. Harry Lyles, you and your FaceTime.
Wanted to acknowledge Dr. Martin Luther King Day today. Dr. King was obviously somebody that I looked up to growing up, not just because of what he did, but as somebody being from Atlanta, we take a little bit extra pride in our own. I want to urge people to do 2 things today. Take time to go see some of his words, listen to them, read them. The King Center has tweeted out a thread that's easy to consume if you want to do that. And the second thing, I know today is a reminder of how far we've come. I think you should also look at it through the lens of how far we can still come through his dream.
Thank you for that, Mr. Harry Lyles Jr. That's it for us today. What a show. Didn't even get to talk about Ja Morant. Jam Orant. Man, wow.